Each year, on the evening of the 14th day of the month of Nisan in the Hebrew calendar, observant Jewish families celebrate a ritual meal or Seder to commemorate their deliverance from slavery in Egypt. During that evening meal, they recall that their ancestors prepared for their journey to freedom by eating a lamb slain for that night, along with bread which was unleavened because baked in haste. And they also remember that by the blood of the slain lamb, they were delivered from death when the angel of the Lord passed over. One purpose of this annual feast is to teach their children about the saving events in their history. And so a central part of the meal are four questions about Israel's deliverance from Egypt, questions asked by the youngest person present at the Seder, the most important of which is this: why is this night different from all other nights? It was at just such a meal that the Lord Jesus celebrated his Last Supper and transformed the Seder into a sacrament for the salvation of the whole world. Why is this night different from all other nights? It is the Passover of the Lord. From before the foundation of the world, the Ancient of Days knew this hour, and by types and figures he prepared the world to understand its meaning. In the garden, our first parents fell from grace, and the fruit of their disobedience was not freedom, but murder. And the blood of Abel cried out for justice. There in the garden, the Lord promised to send a woman whose seed would crush the serpent. And for untold ages, the eternal plan of salvation was gradually unfolded by the gift of divine revelation. Abram was called out of Ur of the Chaldees to become Abraham, our father in faith. And Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, offered a sacrifice of bread and wine on Mount Zion. Through Isaac, human sacrifice was ended, even as our loving Father prepared us for the sacrificial death of his only son. Jacob was given 12 sons, whose 12 tribes would fill the land of promise. And by the blood of a lamb, the children of Israel were freed from their slavery in Egypt. By the flesh of that lamb, they were nourished for their journey. It is the Passover of the Lord. By a pillar of fire, the Hebrews were led through the waters to the holy mountain, and there Moses was given the law of God to keep the people from returning to slavery, the slavery not of Egypt, but of their own sins. In the desert they were fed with the bread of angels, and their thirst was quenched by living water from a rock. In the meeting tent, the tabernacle, the glory of the Lord dwelt above the ark and its mercy seat, and the sons of Aaron offered sacrifice for the sins of the people. Elijah and the prophets proclaimed the saving word of the Lord and revealed the Holy One of Israel as the one only living and true God in all the world. David was anointed the shepherd king of God's people. And Solomon, his son, Solomon the Wise, built the temple in Jerusalem to be the dwelling place on earth of the one true God. Finally, in the fullness of time, John the Baptist, greatest man born of woman, announced the divine glory of the Son of Mary while both men were still babes in the womb. And then, in the fullness of time, the Baptist proclaimed Jesus on Jordan's bank to be the true Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It is the Passover of the Lord. During the 3 years of his public ministry, the Lord Jesus, by signs and wonders, revealed himself to be the fulfillment and perfection of all the types and figures which came before him. And when the hour arrived for which he had come into the world, he gathered the 12 in the upper room to celebrate the solemn feast of Passover. Now, instead of shadows, we have the truth. Now, in place of images, we have the reality. It is the Passover of the Lord. In that upper room, the eternal Word gave us his flesh and blood as real food and drink, the medicine of immortality and an everlasting covenant. To make his sacrifice present in every time and place, the Lord Jesus gave to the 12 the sacred power to do this in memory of me, so that sins may be forgiven. And along with the Holy Eucharist and the ministerial priesthood, Jesus gave us a new commandment: love one another as I have loved you. It is the Passover of the Lord. Imagine that night in Jerusalem. See the upper room. Look into the faces of the 12. Surely they felt an unendurable mixture of love and fear, of faith and doubt, of awe and confusion. What were they thinking? How did they feel? Did they comprehend the sacred mysteries being unveiled before them that night? In the years after his resurrection, as they took the gospel to the ends of the earth, how often must they have traveled in thought to that upper room to ponder what he did for them and for us? It is the Passover of the Lord. Now look at Jesus. In your mind's eye, see him reclining at table. Hear his voice. Watch him stoop to wash Peter's feet. He is the eternal Word by whom the entire universe was made. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. He is the Son of Mary, yes, and the Son of God. He is the Ancient of Days who called Abram, and he is the one who gave his name to Moses, I am. He is the Word made flesh and the true Lamb of God. It is the Passover of the Lord. On that night, in that hour, even as his suffering and death were at hand, what instructions did he give us through the 12? Love one another as I have loved you. I have given you an example so that as I have done for you, you should also do. My friends, this is the law of love. And through this law of love, the Lord Jesus restores in us what is obscured by sin. He is making us a new creation. He is giving us the means of grace so that we may live in the truth of the gospel. He is lifting us up from the degradation of slavery to our sins. And he gives us the freedom and dignity of the children of God. Why is this night different from all other nights? It is the Passover of the Lord. And Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast.